So firstly, to start, no. I am taking a long break from creating content. This, my friends, this is not what I call or would even remotely consider content. Not in the sense of anything anyone other than like a friend would want to listen to. And I mean, even in, well, probably not even in that case. So yeah, I am done with audio porn for the immediate future. This is, and also this is not a sad, I deleted my account yesterday. This is not a sad thing at all. I'm gonna talk a little bit about being sick. I'll kind of tell some like funny stories too, along with it. It's not meant to be heavy, like you have to fucking laugh about stuff when you feel like shit. I know a lot of you folks out there do. A lot of my friends who I've met through here, you guys, deal with some real shit. You gotta fucking just laugh at it sometimes. So this is what this is. Like it's me, today. Really fucking stressful day at work. Done. Medicated and relaxing. And even though I don't like, it's really funny. I hate talking on the phone. I really do. Really don't like it. But I really love sitting down with someone or a group of people and just talking. I love that. Like maybe that's why I was always really good at dates. Because I love, like I truly love, and I would never go on dates to fuck. Because you can just like, find people who want to fuck for that. But like I would just go for like, it's we have like one there's like a there's a construct and there are rules. It's a date. So there are some rules for me to follow. I have my improv prompts. I'm a guy that needs a few like prompts, and I'm totally fucking golden. I digress. That's really fun, just to sit down and talk to someone. I could do it for hours. When I'm high, I could really ramble on for hours. But I will, in the vein of my previous account, let's pour a LaCroix out for it. I will continue and given my creative new handle for just my Reddit account, because like my old account was just it was just my fucking Reddit account. So like it I never really used Reddit, so it just became like I'm less like the porn account that would just like post on r/cats all day. So I'm reborn as just the eccentric weirdo who will has I who I'm totally proud. I'm totally proud and happy. Well, not proud of all of it, in audio quality, not in I'm ashamed of making porn. I didn't delete the Reddit posts. The Reddit, if you click on like the library links and shit, and I'll get all that stuff cleaned up. Don't worry. Because I'd like if you'd like to come back and listen to it. Like the Reddit posts are still up. I left them up because I don't give a shit. The links are still live in there. If I don't want folks listening to my shit, I'll delete it off Soundgasm. And that's open too. So, go nuts. But I'll continue on with the metal talks for 15 minutes, which turns into like a huge long ramble, which is good. Because I like to listen to these things to fall asleep, like male or female voices. So like I'm not going to talk about anything of interest. This is just kind of me sitting down with you and talking. And the great thing is, since I never shut up, I don't have to shut up. And you probably don't want me to shut up. And if you do, you can just close the window. Mute me. Hit pause. Make me go away. But no, I don't have to worry about that here. So I will continue just to do this, to just have conversations with my friends. And that's really nice for me right now. Because, and so I will segue into a little bit of like illness related stuff, which again does include some funny stories. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Excuse me. Oh, and that's nice too. Not having to fucking worry about like coughing. I can just all my shit. I can just sit here and just drink a LaCroix and hang out with my squeaky ass office chair, which won't squeak when I actually want it to. And I don't really care about the loud cars and motorcycles outside my windows, because if I were recording audio porn, I would be furiously swearing right now, because I would have to stop and start again. And the cats may make appearances too, as they're just looming and ready to make their presence known. I'm really, and there's Meatball. Okay, yep, we got him. Yep. First post on the new handle, creatively named. And we got Meatball making an appearance. You can tell by his, see, oh, there he is. You can tell by his voice, kind of. And you can also tell by the distinctive thumps that he makes on this little setup I have. That I was really, before I decided to stop recording audio porn, I was gonna change my setup, and I was gonna sync my microphone booms into into some walls. And folks, I am not handy. I am a gentleman who knows his the limits of. I'm mainly just fucking uncoordinated and impatient. You can be uncoordinated, I think, and patient, and still be handy. But I am uncoordinated and intensely impatient. So I am not handy. So, I don't know, maybe subconsciously, I deleted my account because I didn't want to have to drill these stupid microphone boom sinks into walls, because I don't own the place. I don't want to have to deal with my property manager. So anyway, yeah, so I made a subreddit post about this a little ways back, and what I'll do is I'll talk a little bit about this. I will make a separate post, and I really talk about this because this is something in my personal life that I am really an advocate of, like mental health awareness shit. This is not meant to be like a, this is not going to be like a triggering post or anything. I mean, I hope you just laugh at it like with me, I'll make a separate one just because I don't want to like fill this one up with fucking links to like weird stuff, different Wikipedia articles. So I'll do that, and maybe I'll just link that. But for 10 years, when I was 24, back in 2008, 33 now, I'll be 34 in August. I finally decided to and like I have bipolar 2 disorder and PTSD / like complex PTSD because due to stuff that happened during my childhood, over like the entirety of my childhood, that is what it is. Okay, we don't need to get into those details, but you know, just sets that, and I have like genetically, like I have a bunch of like genetic like anxiety disorders or anxious traits that like everyone on my dad's side of the family has. Like everyone on my dad's side of the family has like really severe anxiety, and everyone on my mom's side of the family is fucking bipolar. You mix that together, and then throw in some childhood trauma, you get, well, a guy who had a vasectomy as to not pass his genes on to anyone or be a dad. Yeah, I really don't want to anyway, but yeah. I've got that. I had those cards stacked against me a little bit. And so I had like some bad experiences. Like I first went to a psychiatrist when I was 18. And I got prescribed Paxil, which is illegal now because it really screwed people up badly. It's a serotonin-specific reuptake inhibitor, an SSRI, and a really irresponsible psychiatrist. This will be the theme. This will be a snapshot for the future people. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, the future people. Like, I always assumed that people in the future would listen to this. And, you know, I think I mentioned that in previous rambles. But, like, I would hope that I am the psychological study of some, like, you know, abnormal psychology class in, like, 2248. I hope, you know. Well, maybe, I mean, we might still be around. I'm for voluntary extinction. But if we're going to stay around and we still are, like, learning things, which I hope we are. I hope to be a case study someday. I don't want a gravestone or anything, but I'll put enough stupidity and weirdness on the internet to be a case study for the future people. Hi, future people. Hello, current people. But no. So I got prescribed that, and as a bipolar person, if you get prescribed something in the SSRI drug class, oh, holy shit. Like, wrong thing, like, what not to give a bipolar person. Ooh, so, like, my college years, Jesus, I was whacked to shit on that stuff. Oh, if any of you guys took that, I think it hit guys a little harder, too. I remember, like, one of the symptoms was, like, anorgasmia, and... like I could like I would have to spend like 30 minutes masturbating. It was miserable. Like sex was just like, well, okie dokie, you really don't want to do this anymore. It's been a while. Let me just take 20 minutes and finish myself off. That's early sexy. Nah. No, but excuse me. Yeah, you don't have to edit shit like that out. That's nice. So my college years, I was whacked out on that shit. Maybe it was good that I was. I graduated college in 3 years with a finance degree. I pulled like 18 hours every semester, classes in the summer, worked 30 hours a week, 35 hours a week at an internship, which was basically like a full-time job, and then sold insurance at night for funsies. So I was really busy, and I got like a finance is all calculus. And for me, I'm not a math person, but I was a poor person. So I was like, fuck, that sounds like, after I abandoned doctor of physical therapy, because, you know, organic chemistry isn't any fun. And I can sometimes, you know, just know when to cut my losses and do something else. I was like, well, what can I do? I'll major in psych for a semester while I collect myself, because I can take a bunch of abnormal psychology classes and maybe learn something about myself. And I have a fucking shelf. I love textbooks. some of my formative reading as a young child were textbooks, and I love them. So that I sold so many personal belongings when I was in college. My Bach Stradivarius trombone, all of my Criterion Collection DVDs, like all 100 of them. And I was like 20, you know, all of my call center work down the drain. A bunch of other stuff, but I would not sell back a lot of my textbooks, because especially my abnormal psychology ones, because I can go back and read about myself. Like, oh yeah, that's it. So I got, you know, I've got that shit stacked against me. I got misprescribed Paxil and some of the, like, just finished college, 3 years, got a good job. I was mentioning to someone today that I was insanely productive. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, the more insane I feel, the more productive I am. It's very strange, the human mind and the American workplace. So that kind of whacked me out and turned me. And that's when I got married for the first time. That was a bad decision. No good. Kind of troughed out when I was 24 in 2004. Then I decided, okay, maybe it's time, after an attempt at my life, maybe it's time to get some help and to start to captain this ship that I got sitting between my my ears, my large head. I do have large shoulders and a thick neck, and that's good because I have a giant head. So, you know, at least it's like proportionate, but, you know, I collect fitted baseball caps. I'm not the largest size, but I'm up there. So this giant, I guess, I don't know, somewhat useless, sometimes useful brain. I just needed to start taking care of it. Because it wasn't a very nice place to be for several reasons that I'd mentioned previous. So I started going to therapy every week, found a really good therapist. And at her practice, I saw another psychiatrist. And I was like, okay, yep, I'm going to really, because I'd never gone to therapy before. And I really would recommend it. And I think anyone, if you're going, and before I get into anything else, I am not a doctor. Anything you may hear from me is anecdotal. I will provide reference. However, speak about it with your healthcare professional. Just ask questions. Informed consent, folks. Just like, you know, the porn and sex side of things. Just know the risks and stay literally, yes, safe, sane. The operative and well, consensual, because it was an informed consent thing. And I went to this doctor and he did prescribe me, I take Lamotrigine. If anyone out there is struggling with bipolar and you keep getting prescribed like SSRIs, like Lexapro, Wellbutrin, all that shit, Lamotrigine, which is actually an anticonvulsant, is very, very effective for bipolar disorder. The only side effect I have is a little bit of dry mouth, so I drink a lot of LaCroix. It helps me stay hydrated. Other than that, that's well treated. So he did a good job on that one in filling out his little questionnaires. But then my anxiety, which is kind of, it's nature and nurture, right? Like I have like the PTSD stuff, which really kind of trumps the other stuff. Living with PTSD, and I know a lot of you folks, a lot of my friends who listen, I know, you know, a lot of you guys deal with it, but It's just not fucking fun. It's just, it can just be a real fucking drag. A lot of the time, it's no good. But I got prescribed, you know, for that anxiety, that weird soup of anxiety and terror that I live with. I wear around my neck like the albatross, the ancient mariner. I got prescribed Xanax and fucking Clonopin, Alprazolam and Clonazepam, respectively. I may switch back and forth. I prefer to use the generic names. However, you know, due to the brand name recognition, I'll maybe stick to those. However, I am a man of science, not a man of commerce. Anywho, I say that a lot. I say anywho a lot. It's like when I'm trying to think of things to say and I've gone off on a tangent and I'm kind of embarrassed of myself. That's what I say. He prescribed me both of those things. Those drugs are called benzodiazepines. Okay. Benzodiazepines change a lot of shit. They change how your GABA receptors work. They are hypnotic tranquilizers. I will post some Wikipedia articles giving the exact pharmacology, what the molecules look like, how they affect all these fun neurotransmitters. But essentially, it's like taking a fucking happy pill if you were in a bad place. You go to a doctor, you're feeling bad. You know, usually you visit a psychiatrist, which I talk about this because I am not ashamed of mental illness. I am in no way ashamed. If I had type 1 diabetes, I would not be ashamed for needing to check my blood sugar or having an insulin pump or take insulin injections. I wouldn't be ashamed of that. It's a disease. I live with it. I am a successful individual. Well, professionally, I guess. Jury's out on, I guess, life stuff. Unless I tell people about this stuff, people do not know. People are often surprised. I am, as many therapists have said, the king of the, you know, brave face, the veneer. But there's oftentimes a lot of bad shit going on up there. I'm not ashamed of it. Neither should you be ashamed. And if you, you know, if you do see a psychiatrist, which is a good thing, it's not an inherently bad thing. Hopefully you find a good one, and hopefully you find one who's just not looking to sedate you. Because you're in a bad place, usually on your first visit. You're like, okay, I really don't feel mentally well. I'm going to get some help. So I did. And I really fucking buckled down. And I went to therapy, and I was like, I'm going to improve my fucking life. Because it's pretty goddamn miserable. So the dude gave me some benzodiazepines, Xanax and Clonopin. These drugs mess with your GABA receptors, and essentially it's like taking a happy pill when you're very depressed and feel bad. It's a hypnotic tranquilizer. It makes you feel okay. It's like drinking, instantly drinking a six pack of beer. Xanax is king shit number one, most effective. Benzodiazepine, fast acting. Pharmacologically, it is really, I think, a great drug for the treatment of panic attacks. Like if you're someone who suffers from panic attacks, because it is a fast acting tranquilizer, taking it as needed when you are actually having a panic attack, I think it can be a useful drug. In the UK, it is now illegal to be prescribed as a regular usage drug, like taking it multiple times a day. I was prescribed a daily dose with Clonopin, like its fucking sidekick on top of it. I'm going to post some things, and if you read them, you will wonder why any fucking medical professional would prescribe this. Like, wow. Medical malfucking practice. And there are tens of millions of Americans who are out there taking this stuff. And fortunately in the UK, thanks to some really good doctors, they've really taken some steps to curb this stuff. Sorry, folks. Medicated before this and a little parched. So I was prescribed Xanax, and then he layered on Klonopin on top of that, and I couldn't form fucking sentences. I would be at work talking to my boss or in a meeting and just lose my words mid-sentence. I mean, my brain was like tranquilized beyond all belief. So I cold turkeyed myself off of Klonopin. I actually had like withdrawals then, but even on Xanax, which is a stronger benzodiazepine, but I guess due to kind of some differences in the chemical properties, I suffered withdrawals then. And I took Klonopin for like 3 months. There are people in my drug rehab group that took Klonopin for 3 months, like just alone, and are now suffering miserably. I just took it for 3 months. I'm like, I'll go turkey myself and go through miserable withdrawals while then developing on Xanax, because it is so effective, your body starts to get used to it. I was prescribed it 3 times a day. But then my dose wore off around bedtime, and oh, I couldn't sleep without it. So I told my doc, like, hey, I'm having trouble sleeping. He's like, we'll give you some more. What I was exhibiting was early signs of what I now know to be benzodiazepine tolerance withdrawal. As the drugs were becoming less and less effective, my body stopped responding. And I would go into severe withdrawals due to Xanax's psychoactivity and it being so effective, it being kind of like one of those carnival games where, you know, you have the hammer and you hit the thing, and the thing rings the bell, it's like ding up to your brain. It's kind of like that. It works in like 30 minutes. So it would be great for like a panic attack, taking it just like once every now and again. I think that's a reasonable medical use for the drug. But then he upped my dosage to 4 times a day, 1 milligram, 4 times a day. I should title this fucking audio, 1 milligram, 4 times a day. And my life revolved around that for the next 9 years. You become a cash flow at that point when you are physiologically dependent on benzodiazepines. Xanax withdrawal makes you want to tear your face off. It gives you tinnitus. It sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Every light, even like looking at your phone screen for me, it felt like staring at the sun. That's what Xanax withdrawal feels like. And it hits you immediately. The efficacy of the drug wears off. It hits its half-life. It started at like 6.5 hours, shrunk to like, and just gradually shrunk down to a half-life of about 3.5 hours after 9 years. So the majority of the time, I would be in screaming benzo withdrawal, which basically, you know, if you have anxiety or post-traumatic stress, it turned my PTSD into hyper-PTSD. Like, it made a bad thing a lot worse. Real bummer. That's what my life kind of just revolved around. And I maintained the veneer. I had a lot of good times. I got married again to a wonderful person who is now my second ex-wife, and has helped me through. She actually helped me find my doctor that is treating me for this, because they're very hard to find. So yeah, I got married again. I had a lot of good times, went on a lot of great travels, was a very successful person. Like, my post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms make me an insanely hyper-responsive and attentive professional. And because of what caused it, I never want to get in trouble. So, and like, that's like the psychological, you know, like if you really psychoanalyze yourself, like, oh, I'm the scared little kid. That's who I am. It's kind of interesting. It was a really interesting process to kind of get back down to that. Like breaking yourself down. Like I said, I love, I'm a really analytical person. I love to think about shit. I love science. I have a fucking Carl Sagan tattoo, guys. Come on. I have like fractal geometry and like black holes turning into DNA helixes as commentary on creation and destruction tattooed on my arms. I'm a fucking dork. I provide a lot of great self-study material. But yeah, with some therapy and guidance, I reverted back to that. And it made me really good at what I do. And when I haven't been hypnotically sedated out of my damned mind, I consider myself a relatively sharp dude. And I'm kind of just, I have a knack for problem solving. And what I do is a lot of very, very complex problem solving. It drives me insane. Absolutely insane. Because it's like my post-traumatic stress makes me good at it. And there are a lot of folks like that. There are a lot of folks who maybe something happened to them. And maybe what drives them or what seems to drive them might be like their coping skill or just a symptom manifesting itself. Very, very fucking interesting. That's why I think like art and artists, people always talk about the tortured artist. It's because I think it drives people to create. And oftentimes, like, you know, knowing that pain, sadness, like that desire to like either create something comforting or something like expressive of that pain, or something that makes you feel differently, or helps others feel differently, is meaningful. And maybe that's what I was doing a little bit. I have a friend who I met through this who's into art therapy, and that's kind of what that was, my audio porn adventure. It's kind of like an art therapy for me. But yeah, when I started actually recording on GWA, I was going through like, Jesus Christ. So in the interim time, in that interim 9 years, when I was telling my psychiatrists, oh, hey, I've kind of had this like baseline, like boiling anxiety that never went away. And it's kind of like the same old anxiety, but I guess I'm okay. But that like same old anxiety, same old anxiety just got worse and worse and worse. Like same old anxiety meeting. After about 2 months of taking the drugs, I was suffering from symptoms that were worse than what I actually started at. My PTSD was worse, and it has been for the last like 9 years. Wah, wah, wah. I don't have a soundboard, but that's what I would put in there. That's some bad medicine, folks. But they always just like, oh, okay. So do you want some more? Do you want to go from 4 milligrams up to 6? And I'm like, no, I don't like this stuff. What sucks about being in treatment for, you know, there are definitions for it. I call it a physical dependency because I never took the drugs recreationally. I only took them to first feel better as prescribed, and then took them to just avoid the withdrawal symptoms. You know, I took them as prescribed to feel better for 6 months, and then the subsequent 8.5 years just to feel a little bit better. Like, as in, like, not have horrifying withdrawals, micro withdrawals that just hit you like a, like, yeah, like the carnival game, like just as it's effective, like the ding, the withdrawals hit you like a ding, and the latter ding is much more unpleasant. It's crippling. Story. You folks know, I live in Chicago. I was in another city. I was staying in that city for 9 days. Had a few weddings to attend. Back-to-back weekends. So I had a hotel room booked for like 9 days. A lot of plans. It was Friday. Wedding was on a Saturday. In my haste, and again, being in benzo tolerance withdrawal and my normal panicky ass self, I only took enough Xanax to get me through like a day. I woke up the next day and realized, oh no, I forgot it. And the withdrawals fucking kicked in. So, knowing that I couldn't make the drive back to Chicago, I fucking booked a plane ticket for a flight that was in 2 hours, got on the plane, left just enough time for me to take the train to my stop, walk to my house, get my fucking drugs, pick them up, get back on the train, and fly back out. Hey, Meatball. Meatball's witnessed the entire thing, haven't you, buddy? Yeah. Watch Dad be sad. And then kind of blissful. And then weird. And weirder and weirder. And then he started making weird noises into mics. And masturbating into them. Yeah, he agrees. He agrees, folks. And I completely forgot where I was. But no, they only offered me more of the shit. I'm like, no, I hate them. I had to fly home and fly back because that's how painful it is. And folks, okay, I grew up being physically abused severely. I am a pretty hard motherfucker to physical pain. I had to just harden myself to it early in life. I have a jacked up right shoulder from being swung repeatedly into a fucking wall by my arm as a kid. So I'm a pretty tough mentally, I have to be kind of hard. I put on a very, very brave face and have been on like corporate videos, that go out to 65,000 people. I'm the guy that comes in and is expected to do the fucking impossible, at work. I usually accomplish it because I am so fucking terrified all of the time that I will not fail. So that's been my life for the last fucking 9 years. Again, with a lot of good times mixed in. All of the behavior that led to, well, not all the behavior, because I was always kind of a sexually expressive person and I'm unashamed. And that's why I'll always leave my content up. If I never record audio porn again, I'll leave my content up as long as I'm comfortable with it. That's not why I deleted the account. The terror that I meant, me being great at work, because I can't fucking stand notifications. I have to know that the email is there because I will always be thinking, oh, sweet mother of shit. Is there an email in my inbox? Am I addressing it? Oh my God, what if it's important? If I don't address this right now, my boss will think I'm lazy, even though it's like 11 o'clock at night. Like all these terror feelings, and I address it like immediately. Like Reddit was the same way, like being a content creator, because when you folks would comment on my stuff, I like you guys. I do. Even though I made porn, I probably talked to most of you folks who commented just as pals or just cordially and in a friendly manner. So many times I really enjoyed responding to your comments, and they meant your comments and your listens meant the world to me. Like that's what made me feel good. It wasn't about upvotes or anything like that. It was about that. It was about, you know, listens and things. And so I felt like, so there were more notifications in my life. This had to deal with me clearing my throat. This is like just, podcast that you don't listen to for the audio quality, the podcast you listen to when you just need background noise to fall asleep or listen to a guy talk about his problems. But it's all contextual, I swear. And I do this for awareness. And I hope, I really hope that as I say this, maybe someone out there is identifying with it. I have more subreddit subscribers than I did. And thank you, folks, who joined the day I deleted my account. That was really nice. It's like, I wonder if my subreddit got to 400 subscribers, if I should have an event. But those are the things I stress out about. Because I really want to do something great for you. Because you guys gave me all of your time. And I have so little in my life. I really value people's time. But all that stuff has made me great and successful. Professionally. But God, it's fucking wrecked me. Oh, God, made so many bad decisions that I now know were a symptom of tolerance withdrawal. And just like, you know, people who are hurting, oftentimes you'll seek things that release dopamine into your brain. For me, it's always been like food and sex and like maybe drinking. Not mixing the three. I don't mix food and sex. Both are too important to mix. They're both very sacred things, and I will not George Costanza it and mix the two. Totally. Yet because of the food, I'm body dysmorphic, and I've had eating disorders too. So, right, and I struggle with them today. So I can help empathize with that as well. See, I hope someone just relates to that, like a dude who has problems. But outwardly, folks never know. My one therapist, my best therapist, told me, like, yo, Metal, almost said my first name. Most of the people in your situation are homeless. I kind of take pride in that. I take pride that, you know, not only like was I like the first person in my family to go to college, and I came from a working class home. It's pretty white trashy. But like, I'm proud of that. That I've managed to, you know, that is one thing I will say I'm proud of. You know, I've always had like really low self-esteem. Like, I know you folks who've dealt with stuff when you were a kid. It really doesn't do a whole lot for your fucking like self-worth. You know, or when bad things happen, like when you get sick, you just don't feel very good about yourself. I've always kind of suffered with that. As I think anyone would. And you know, some of you, I know a lot of you do, because people do. You're all people, I think. Well, or future people. Future people, this is a good put a pin right here in this file. This is what you just heard was a very, very good medical history snippet. From the United States of America in the early 21st century. Got it? Okay, yeah. Leave it as a footnote. Metal, you guys know what my real name is anyway, but credit me on that, okay? Thank you. That's all I ask. But going back to talking to the present stuff, people, you guys. Which, if you think about it, God, history is going to be so weird in a couple hundred years. I hope we're still around for the strangeness that is history. But anywho, fuck, I said anywho again. God damn it! What a lot of this is too. Again, this is not content creation or work for me. This is talking to my friends. Hopefully, they get a couple laughs. Hopefully, there's some awareness from this one, and hopefully, it helps some people. Or hopefully, it helps some people fall asleep. There are a lot of people who are, you know, we self-soothe. I gained, like, as I got, like, to my sickest, I gained a fuck ton of weight because I was, like, eating things like Pac-Man, trying to make myself feel better. That wasn't good. But it was in a way. Because I'll tell you how sick I've been in just a second. So when I started recording for GWA, I saw another bad fucking psychiatrist who, oh my God, he charged me $275 an hour just to, like, he would schedule me in just 5-minute windows. And I'm like, I want to get off Xanax really badly. And I'm looking, like, for how to do it. Should I cut myself, like, down to 3.5 milligrams a day? Which, God, do not fucking do that. No. So I was like, yeah, bro. Yeah, just do that. Yeah, it works. Just, like, do what you're comfortable with, man. No, so benzodiazepines, unfortunately, unlike things like heroin, opioids, opiates, meth, coke, crack, barbiturates, ketamine, unlike a lot of that stuff, which, I mean, a lot of it damages your brain. But what makes benzodiazepines especially special is if you take them for a long time, it changes your fucking neurochemistry. When I got my sickest, you know, I tried to do that, and I got down to like 2.5 milligrams, and I had a focal seizure, which thankfully it wasn't a fucking grand mal. This is a really weird experience. And I'm like, okie dokie, I want to die. And, you know, I was working like 80 hours a week. And still doing it. I got like the last year I was like just sick as fuck and got the highest ranked person out of 500 people. I don't know how I did it. I was so miserable. I don't know whether to say like, Metal, you're a fucking idiot for succumbing to your symptoms, or good job, buddy. I don't know what to tell myself. I don't know if success, if it's a byproduct of your pathology, is necessarily a good thing. No fucking clue. Yeah. The only cut I will make in this audio is for me to get up and go get a LaCroix. Because I've been talking for, holy shit, 47 minutes. Oh my. Back after the cut, folks. All right. Well, okay, folks. I went and took a break. And had to clean up a cat accident. Because Meatball has been sick and shat outside of his fucking litter box. Anyway, and I fired up my volcano. So, you know, a lot. So that's funny too. So, like, I talked about my symptoms. Like, cannabis for me, I never consumed it regularly till like 2017. I didn't really like it. I always did it when I was drunk and got really sick. Like, I don't drink anymore. I lost the taste for alcohol when I started. And that was kind of like my beginning to, like, not, it's my beginning to hippie wellness, because I'm really not into hippie wellness whatsoever. But it did help calm my symptoms a little bit. And for me, it's medicine primarily. And I think it should not be recreationally used. I think responsible recreational use should be legal. I mean, you shouldn't drive, you shouldn't do, you know, anything while you are impaired. You shouldn't work while you're impaired. I don't do that. I work my ass off, and in my spare time, you know what, due to my symptoms, I have a really fucked up emotion center. And this kind of goes into like a lot of my like marriage failures. I really am I love people, and I'm like a compassionate person. I cannot, because of my upbringing and how it kind of was really screwed up, due to some of the emotional things too, I can't feel love. That blows hard. Like, I can feel lust. And but I'm really bad at traditional being like a spouse. I'm really bad at that. I feel alone a lot. I feel like, you know, just bad a lot of the time. And I have like really fantastic, some loving people in my life, and like it's kind of wasted on me. And like it's like being super thirsty for something like that you want the most, and like you be, it's like fucking Dante's Inferno, quite honestly. This is the darkest part of the audio. I'm essentially insanely thirsty, and just you're surrounded by water and Gatorade, and you can have all of it, but no matter how much you drink, like, you're still thirsty. No matter how much you fuck, no matter how much, you know, how many, you know, how much sex you have, which is fun, you never feel it. And I'm just not, like, yeah. I was best friends and roommates, you know, but didn't have the feelings that like husbands are supposed to feel. That blows, because I can't feel them. Oh well, I will find my own happiness. So anyway, I started recording for GWA. I was in really fucking bad, recovering from that horrible experience of trying to like take them out, like take myself off of them, which, my god, yeah. Oh, could have killed myself. Like I could have had a seizure and killed myself. My only hope, and my ex found this for me, was something called the Ashton Protocol. I'll link to that in my separate post. I'm going to hide that post and just link it. I don't want that on my subreddit. It's ugly and nasty. My subreddit is fun. I'm having fun talking to you about this shitty part of my life. So, you know, don't be bummed. I'm just your buddy, Metal, just talking. Because I was going to take a nap. But, dude, my fucking horrible withdrawal symptoms. I can't sleep. So, I started something called the Ashton Protocol. I found a doc here who does it. He's an older dude, and I think he does it and he stays around. He's past retirement age, but because he wrote a lot of these prescriptions throughout his career and is kind of atoning for that shit. So he walks you through this. And folks, I'm gonna link to benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome. Okay. I'm gonna link to that. And I want you to read the symptoms, okay? Now, again, I talked about being a hard motherfucker. I can get my elbow tattooed for like 9 hours, and it hurts. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, you know, it doesn't hurt at all. Like, no, pain hurts a lot for me. Like, you know, just like I say, like, you know, you're not brave unless you're scared, which I'm terrified all the time. And I guess you could say I am a brave person, because I just stare in the face. I stare at the fuck down. Even recording live audio porn on Discord for me, it was like me doing it during in the midst of a fucking panic attack. Oh my. Just exposure therapy or attempts. at a very, very poorly timed attempts at exposure therapy. That's another 90-minute audio I could record. Metal talks for 115 minutes, which I'll get there. So yeah, every symptom is so fucking bad, and it's all real. Oh my fucking god. The stuff about suicidal ideation, holy shit. Like, for those who suffer with mental illness and are aware of it, like, you know, you have your feelings and then you have like your thoughts. You feel a certain way. Like, I might feel like, as I might be having a very, very depressed feeling or an angry feeling. And my God, do I have fucking like mood swings and shit. Jesus, it's embarrassing. But you also have your thoughts. So I have like, you have the rational brain who's like, this is merely a byproduct of your GABA receptors not knowing what the fuck is going on, and you're depriving them of what they need to function. Plus, you're already kind of fucked up. It's my brain just going fucking haywire, and it's awful. And I, like, one of the symptoms is just feeling like killing yourself all of the time and thinking about it. And you have to, like, override those feelings with your rational brain, knowing, yo, dude, it's the fucking symptoms. You're going to get through this. Don't go down that route. Because what keeps me around is, like, wanting to help people. And that's why I'm recording this fucking audio. I know, like, there are fucking, like, three people who will listen to this a few times. And no one will listen the whole way through. And I hope you haven't. I hope you skip around or you've fallen asleep by now. But my God, the symptoms are so fucking awful. So I had to cross over I started the therapy and I got really sick and this was going to happen. And regardless, because of what I just talked about in my emotions, I wasn't cut out to be married to my ex. So it was going to happen anyway, but we had the talk on Thanksgiving night at her family's house in another city, while I was so sick of my first week of treatment and didn't articulate it in a bad way, but not the time when you want to have that talk. And yeah, dealt with that while dealing with folks, a hell that is just without mercy. Sweet mother of shit. I have never felt as a child untreated, maltreated on other drugs this bad. As part of my treatment, I had to cross over from Xanax to Valium because it's long acting and you don't have the severe withdrawals. It's just a slow simmering boil of pain and just misery just always going on in your head. And you don't get, in doses over 10 milligrams per day, it suppresses slow wave sleep. That's when your body rests. I haven't gotten slow wave sleep because in 27 weeks, I've been unconscious a ton because I'm so tired. I am so tired. It's been 27 weeks since I've gotten any slow wave or any meaningful slow wave. You sleep for 12 hours. It's like the equivalent of like normally sleeping for like an hour and a half. That sucks. I'm so tired. I feel, my mood is like all over the place. The crossover between the two drugs is crazy because, and as I said, in doses over 10, my equivalent dose to keep me from having grand mal seizures was 80. So 4 milligrams of Xanax equaled 80 of Valium. And Valium was synthesized in 1960. And sweet mother of Christ, yeah, I'll post the side effects of that too. Every fucking side effect, I've gotten it. Like, because it's just a monstrous dose that I had to take. I had to take it 4 times a day, 80 milligrams a day. I'm recording this on a fucking Monday. Every week for the last 27 weeks, I have cut. A miserable process, but I've done it. I am down to one dose a day. I took it just recently. And aside from one awful experience of my drugs falling out of my briefcase during a trip through O'Hare, to do an enormously important business task for a multi-billion dollar project while ensuing Xanax withdrawal and almost having a grand mal seizure, probably at the meeting, which I survived and came home and like downed, you know, 4 pills, smoked a bunch of weed. Aside from that, I took it only once and it was 24 fucking hours since I'd taken it. That's a victory. I am down to 10 milligrams from 80 as of today. every one of them, I have felt it has been intensely painful. Depression like I've never felt. Bouts of rage like I've never felt. And my God, I've been in fights with people. I mean, here, like on the internet and here on Reddit, just ridiculous fights. Pardon me as I swivel my chair. Over ridiculous things. Making dumb posts backstage. You going out of your mind. It sucks to lose your mind and know you're losing your mind. It's humbling. You look at those homeless people and you're like, wow, that could be me. You realize that. If nothing else from this whole experience, I realize that when I drive by or under the Dan Ryan Expressway or under Lakeshore Drive in my fucking German car, and I see those homeless people, I'm like, that, I get it. All of these symptoms where I've lost for periods, and my friends who've indulged me and seen me go through these wild, crazy ass fucking mood swings. It sucks to not trust your emotions. Agoraphobia is one of the symptoms. So you want to shut yourself in. And when you don't have any faith in how you're going to act, you don't want to interact with anybody. Because you just feel like you're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to lose control. It just sucks. That blows. But you know what? I'm starting to get a little bit of clarity back. Clarity at the price of, I'm either like super tired and foggy because, oh my God, Valium just makes you so dumb. My audio. So I was so sad about my audio just because like that was like the last hobby I had, was the porn, and just watching like it not be as good was like a sad mirror into my life. And I'm like, oh, not this too. Yeah, that too. So I'm so fucking glad I deleted that account. I really am. I don't regret it at all. It was freeing. And you know, guys, I hope you leave me some comments if you listened to it or if you identified with it, or a PM. If my cup's kind of empty right now. It's hard for me to pour from because all of the terrible symptoms I'm going through. But oh my God, I've made it so far. And I have 10 weeks to go before I'm down to zero, and the cuts get bigger in magnitude, and that's all your brain cares about. Whether it's 100 from 90 or 10 to 9, your brain just feels it all the same. And so it's going to be like a 10% cut, then like a 12.5, then a da 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 da, to down to like a 33% cut, to a 50, to a 100% cut. And then my brain has to flush the shit out. My body has to flush the shit out. And my brain has to rewire for like 3 to 6 months. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy not knowing who you're going to be when you get out the other side. When you don't know, because, you know, you were untreated, you know, as a kid. You were mistreated as an adult. You don't know who you're going to be. But I'm going to help people. I'm going to find happiness. I'm going to find my happiness. I really am. And I'm not like, again, this hasn't been a bummed post. I've liked talking to you guys about it. I talked to my friends about this because it's important. And for those of you who suffer, you're not, from whatever trauma, you're not alone. And if you've been fucked over by your doctor, you're not alone. Or your doctor just puts you on this stuff. Just ask the questions. Just be informed of you know, and it's for me with like cannabis, I legitimately like weigh my stuff out. If I'm going to consume it, I make sure I don't consume over a specific dose that I want or an amount that I want. And then I'll take a break because I'm never going to let another fucking substance control me. I'll let it help me feel like a person after I consume it. But I sure as shit won't let it control me. Makes for some fun audio though, right? If any of you guys are suffering, I identify with you. I'll try and post some links with this. I only post this when I have those links. And I'll put them in a little like hidden post somewhere. So, hey, it's metal. Thanks for listening. This is kind of a little bit of the behind the curtain about me. A little awareness ramble, but at least it didn't come with a fap. I'm going to keep recording these just because it's fun to talk to my friends. This is just like a voice message that I would leave to my friends. So I'll just keep posting them. It's a good podcasting practice. I can engineer them and do what I want with them because it's sure as shit not quality enough to be a real podcast. Nothing I'd put my name on. And because I couldn't post on the regular or take that, like my audio porn was like the last thing I was holding out on. Like, I can still do this, I think. And like, I woke up worrying about how my audio did. And I just woke up and I saw that it didn't have the listens I wanted. And then I realized, nope, time to delete this motherfucker. And God, I'm glad. I'm very happy with the fun I had and all the love you guys gave me as a you/your heavy metal lover, but hey, it's metal, the guy, and I don't know if I'll ever post audio porn again. I might, just for funsies, maybe when I'm better, see if my skills are crisp, can drop HFOs, or maybe I'm terrible at it, who knows. Not that I was ever any good. Thanks guys, thanks for listening. That was just a little bit about me. I'm an open book. Don't exploit that, but, yeah, I'm the guy who never shuts up, and when I take my medicine especially, so might as well do it into a mic, beats talking to myself and the cats. Good talking to you. You'll just keep hearing from me. And if you like that, great, you're a good friend. Thanks so much. Take care, guys, and hang in there.